invite you this morning to hear the words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love your Lord, your God, with all of your heart, and with all your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of those three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Perhaps some of you have, there's a commercial that's out on television right now. Some famous quarterback, granted he doesn't play for the Panthers of Pittsburgh, so he's not that great of a quarterback. I think his name's Manning, and he's kind of walking around something about Nationwide Insurance. Nationwide is on your side to that tune. Can y'all say that? Nationwide is on your side. Can y'all do that? Well, what's that other insurance out there that has a little saying that kind of sticks in your head? Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. So let's think about those two terms just for a minute. Like a good neighbor, and then blank is on your side. So being like a good neighbor and remembering that God is on our side. Being a good neighbor and remembering that God is on our side. We hear the words that Jesus shares this morning, and that message kind of comes out that first off, we must always remember that God is on our side, and we are charged with being good neighbors. I think that if we just spend time reading this scripture over and over in itself, I mean, the message is pretty clear that Jesus intends to be delivered. But what is so nice about this scripture that we can take to heart is there's a great life application statement that comes as part of the scripture. Okay, you've said it, you've read it, now those last words were, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Go and show that mercy. Go and be that good neighbor. Go and love God with all of your heart. And go and love your neighbor. So as we look into our own lives about where we are, can we say that we are a good neighbor? Can we say that we witness those neighborly acts on a regular basis? Can we say that we go through life day in and day out remembering that our God is on our side? So as we look back into the scripture, the religious law expert, the lawyer, to him, simply, this was a topic of discussion. There wasn't anything spiritual about it. It was a topic of discussion. The man represented somebody who was being taken advantage of by the robbers. The priest, on the other hand, saw this man who was injured as a problem. And he needed to avoid him because he was too busy. He had something else to do. Now you would think above everybody else, I mean, that the preacher, the priest, the man of religion would have been the first to offer some help. But he crossed to the other side of the road because he had something else that he had to get done. Maybe he had to get to a church council meeting. Who knows? But he had something else that he had to get done that he couldn't be late for. So he crossed to the other side of the road. But the Samaritan who come along was the most unlikely person to help. But this Samaritan who come along viewed him as a human being, as a child of God, as a neighbor who was worthy of being taken care of, and who was worthy of having a love shared with him. And it's so unlikely because the Samaritans at that time, they were from a long line of hatred. There was a long line of hatred that was there between the Samaritans because they were presumed to be a mixed race between the Samaritans and the Jewish people, who were presumed to be the pure race. But here this most unlikely person came along and was that good neighbor. And I think as we read the scripture, it pretty well illustrates who acted more like Christ. The Samaritan is the one who stopped what he was doing, gave of his time, gave of his money, used his own animal, and made sure this person was taken care of. Jesus uses this story, this parable, to bring about an understanding on what our attitude might be as we reach out to other people. Do we simply view some circumstance that a person is dealing with as just an issue? Maybe we try to work through that issue and say, well, here's the problem, this is what they need to do, and if they don't do that, well, they're on their own. Or do we see it as a problem that takes up our time? Well, I can't believe I got this phone call from this person who is going through depression and wants to talk and tell me how bad their day's been. You know what? I've got to be somewhere in 30 minutes, and I really don't have time to listen to this conversation. Or do we see those places to where a person stops what they're doing and says, you know what? This is another child of God, created in the image of God, created by God's hands, created to be loved, created for a purpose. So I need to stop what I'm doing, and I need to help this person because of what they're experiencing. Sometimes people need to be reminded that what they do is really important, is an extension of what God has commanded us and commissioned us to do. God has commanded us to love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul, and to love our neighbor. God has commissioned us to make disciples. Those are things that are not an inconvenience. That's who we are. That's who we are. Sometimes in the workplace, I think, that especially jobs where you've got some freedom, that people sometimes need to be reminded that these things that we do, well, that's our job. That's what we are, and they're not an inconvenience. With these places, these opportunities to help people, these are not an inconvenience. These are not things that we do above and beyond. These are the things that we are supposed to do as people called Christians. And I think that our challenge is that I think we understand that. I think that we understand these are the things that we're supposed to do. But I think our challenge is to help other people see that these are the things that we're supposed to do. When somebody comes to you and says, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, sure, we can say, well, we've got to believe in Jesus Christ. We have to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have to do this. We've got these Ten Commandments over here that are the basis for everything. And we have to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul. And we have to love our neighbor. And I think that part that becomes most difficult to understand is, what does it mean to love your neighbor? What does it mean to love your neighbor? And who is your neighbor? Well, I think that we saw through this parable that Jesus shows that our neighbor could be any person. It doesn't have to be somebody that looks like us. It doesn't have to be somebody that lives down the street from us. Our neighbor can be any person. Any person who has a need. Any person who needs to hear the Word of God. Any person who needs to have that encounter with Christ. John Wesley had concern many years ago as the founder of Methodism about what our neighbors would look like. And he was very clear to point out that all people, no matter who they are our neighbors. That the world is our parish. That every person is our neighbor. But we've got to understand this, is that all people are different. but all people are special to God. All people are different, but all people are special to God. And as I prayed this week, as I reflected this week, as I prepared for this sermon, praying God to put words in my heart this week, what I saw was that there are so many places in our world today where those differences are where we focus our attention. We use our eyes to focus on the difference in people rather than using our hearts to focus on the similarities in people. Think about it. Where do we use our eyes to focus on difference rather than our hearts to focus on similarities? From our eyes, I can see different race, different sizes, different origin. I can see tattoos, piercings, hair color, hair length. I see those with my eyes. But if I look with my heart, then what do I see? We see, as the Samaritan saw, another child of God, worthy of being loved, worthy of having an encounter with Christ, worthy of having an invitation to come to church, worthy of being cared for. So do we look with our eyes, or do we look with our hearts? As I read this scripture, I'm reminded that I need to be closer to my neighbor. I'm reminded that I need to be closer to my neighbor, that I need to be that good neighbor. That maybe I need to walk around with that jingle in my head that we talked about from the insurance companies. That I need to be that good neighbor. Because I think that we have a habit as a society. I think that we have a habit of looking at someone and saying, wow, they're covered with all of those tattoos. They really don't look like the church type. I'm not going to invite them to church today. Or I'm really not going to do a whole lot of witnessing to them. A man, look at how they jingle when they walk with all that jewelry they have and all those body piercings. I can't look them in the eyes because I'm looking at all the piercings on their face. I don't know that we need to invite that person to church or talk to them about Christ. And I'm generally not too good at talking to people with blue hair or purple hair or green hair. So they don't look like the church type. And then how do we look with people with disabilities? I mean, how do we look at people with disabilities? Well, maybe they can't get into our church or whatever the case is. And no matter how hard you try, I mean, when you see somebody with a significant disability, I mean, your attention is drawn to that. No matter how hard you try, when you see somebody that has piercings or tattoos all over them, your attention is drawn to that. And I think what we're being charged to do as we read the scripture about the Good Samaritan is to see with our hearts. And I think that's how that's one of the messages that we have to carry out in our ministry to other people. Is that as a Christian, we have to see with our heart and place less emphasis on what we see with our eyes and more emphasis on what we see with our heart. Because, brothers and sisters, we can feel blessed knowing that God made us who we are. God created us in His image. God created us for a purpose. God created us to be loved. And God created us as something special. We are fearfully and wonderfully made at the hands of the One who created all things. And I think the best way that we can be a good neighbor is to simply offer Christ. To offer Christ to our neighbors in a way that makes sense. Offer Christ to where people would have a chance to experience something they've never experienced before. To experience that relationship that we have. To experience an invitation to church. To experience an invitation into a group of belonging. And what we have to be careful of is not to be that one person that avoids. We can't be that priest. We can't be that religious expert. We can't be that rich man that goes to the other side of the street because we don't want to get our hands dirty. We have to be willing to get our hands dirty. We have to be willing to stay on the side of the street where people have the need. Just like Jesus did. Jesus didn't hang out with the rich and the famous and the prosperous and the popular. Jesus hung out with the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the murderers. He hung out with those who were in prison. He hung out with those who needed to encounter the light. He didn't cross to the other side of the street. He was that good neighbor. And that's what he taught his disciples, was to be that good neighbor. And we look further and further and further into the scriptures, we see how the Apostle Paul did the same thing. He spent most of his time in prison. But he was that good neighbor. He stayed on the side of the street where people needed that help. And when we look in our own lives, when we look at those places to where we have those opportunities to stay on the side of the street where we need to, where we have those opportunities to be that good neighbor. Well, this morning I was talking about my license in school whenever I came into the ministry, and it made me remember about a friend of mine down in Georgia who was a prominent medical examiner and physician for the city of Atlanta. And he left that lucrative job to go into the ministry. Why? Because he wanted to see kids before they got to the autopsy table and have a chance to make a difference. When a wealthy person is asked about, well, why did they help a young man in poverty get into school? And he responds by saying, because he needed a chance. Well, when a group gathers in a place to feed the homeless, and they respond, when asked why, they say, because it needed to be done. Or when a church partners with others, like we do and like many others do, whether it be food pantries or whether it be clothing closets, whether it be extension ministries. And when I ask why they do it, because they say because it needed to be done and the people needed to have an encounter with Christ. When a new ministry is started that is different than the rigid structure of the church, and you ask why, it's because people needed to hear in a way that they could understand. Well, those are examples of being a good neighbor. Brothers and sisters, what we have to remember as we go out and here into the ministry is today there's going to be another kid who's going to join a gang because somebody didn't offer them a chance to belong. There's going to be a homeless person that's going to feel left out. There may be a person that commits suicide because they didn't feel somebody cared. There may be a person who loses all hope because they don't feel loved. And there may be another person who professes that there is no God because nobody has taken the time to share. And today a sinner continues to be a sinner because no one has offered Christ. Today a person with strange hair, tattoos, piercings is not offered an invitation to church because somebody assumes that's not the church type. The gospel from Luke 10 reminds us that these very people are our neighbors. And each of these represents an opportunity to extend our neighborly hospitality. Luke 10:2 says, these were the instructions. The harvest is so great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask Him to send more workers for His people. Brothers and sisters, people are different. People are different, but that is a blessing. These people are our neighbors, and our job is to be those good neighbors. Caring for all people, all of God's children, is what it means to love God and to love neighbors. And this is the message that we as a people of Christ need to share with those that we encounter. All for Christ. Invite them to church. Invite them into a relationship where they experience the unconditional love of God. As a church, I think we understand this. But we're charged with setting that example. Remember what Jesus said in this parable. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.